All right, so Stephanie read that passage from the giving of the law in Leviticus. And in it, God asked the people to make sure that they let the land rest, that the land should take a Sabbath. The passage we're going to read from Isaiah picks up with what happens when people don't really do that. Isaiah lived maybe 600 or 700 years after the time of Moses and the law. And this is what he said was taking place. The people have defiled the earth by breaking God's laws and by violating the covenant that he made, hoping to last forever. So a curse has come upon the earth. Its people are paying now for what they've done. Fewer and fewer remain alive. The grapevines wither. Wine is becoming scarce. Everyone who was once happy is now sad, and the joyful music of their harps and drums has ceased. There's no more happy singing over wine. No one enjoys its taste anymore. In the city, everything is in chaos, and people lock themselves in their houses. People shout in the street because there is no more wine, no more food. Happiness is gone forever. It's been banished from the land. The city is in ruins. Its gates have been broken down. This is what happens all over the world, in all nations. It will be like the end of the final harvest, when the olives have been beaten off of every tree and the last grapes picked from the vines. This is God's word for us today. Thank you, God, for the many ways you still speak to us. So now the ushers will prepare to take this morning's offering, which will go to support the in-reach and outreach efforts of this church. And continuing in our theme of loving the planet, we're going to play a song that celebrates the goodness of Mother Nature.
Thank you.
scripture reading is the one that you expect to hear on Palm Sunday, although I'm going to read probably a shorter version of it than you've heard before. It's Luke's version, and the reason I'm reading Luke's version is because of how it ends. It ends in a way that's very different than the other Palm Sunday readings. So I hope you'll hear something new and be moved this day. So they brought the donkey to Jesus. They threw their cloaks upon the colt and put Jesus upon it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road before him. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd began to joyfully praise God in loud voices for all the miracles and blessings they'd seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, glory in the highest." Now some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Tell them to keep silent." "I tell you the truth," Jesus said, "even if they kept quiet, the very stones will cry out." Well, in case you're visiting with us today, or if you've missed the last few Sundays, we're in the middle of a sermon series entitled Loving the Planet. In the month of March, we examined the many waters that God has blessed us with. We lamented our mistreatment of the waters over the years and considered some practical strategies for altering and improving our relationship with water. In April, we've been looking at the earth, looking at this terra firma, the ground on which we stand. And last week, I went so far as to say that I think we humans have been slowly but surely crucifying the earth. We've been biting the very hand that feeds us. Now, I know today's Palm Sunday, and we usually use it to rehash Jesus' so-called triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But this year, I'd like to connect this well-known biblical story with this theme of loving the planet. So here goes. I've always preferred Luke's account of the Palm Sunday narrative because it includes that curious exchange that Jesus has from the donkey's back with the Pharisees. The Pharisees are all ticked off that Jesus is being treated like a king and hailed as the Messiah, for of course they did not believe that that is who he was. And the Pharisees say, "Hey Jesus, tell your followers to shut up. Enough with the Hosanna stuff." And Jesus responds with the seemingly outlandish claim that even if he were to silence his followers, that the very stones would cry out. The stones would cry out? Jesus seems to be suggesting that his status as Messiah and Son of God is so solid, so well established, so indisputable, that even if people didn't acknowledge it, creation would. The earth would. The stones would cry out. It's almost as if Jesus is saying, "Look, some things are just true. You may not like them. You might choose to try to deny them. But that doesn't make them any less true. So even if my disciples stop crying out, that doesn't make who I am as the Messiah any less true. It doesn't make who I am and what I've come to do any less true." So folks, I want to suggest this morning that those same words that Jesus used back in that first Palm Sunday, those words, "the stones will cry out," can and should be applied to our current environmental crisis in 2019. You may have noticed that there are some people out there who don't like the rest of us crying out that the planet is in peril. They don't like hearing again and again that the Earth's atmosphere, its core, its oceans are heating up to the point that we are losing all kinds of vital species, not to mention the fact that our storms and so-called natural disasters are getting amped up, both in frequency and intensity. There are plenty of Pharisees out there when it comes to taking seriously climate change and global warming. In fact, one of the leading anti-environmentalist voices recently claimed that, yes, windmills cause cancer. They're offering bogus science and all manner of ridiculous alternative explanation in hopes of shutting us up, just like the Pharisees wanted to shut up Jesus' followers in the day. But guess what? Even if we remain silent about what is happening to Mother Earth right now, creation itself will call out. The stones will cry out. The polar ice caps are melting, and they're melting at an ever-increasing rate. The stones are crying out. The oceans all across the planet are heating up, and those increased temperatures are creating superstorms, the likes of which we've never seen before. The stones are crying out. We're seeing flooding in Iowa, Oklahoma, Nebraska. Is there even any water there? Devastating floods in the driest section of our country. The stones are crying out. Whales, dolphins, and sharks are washing up on the ocean shores, dead, with their stomachs so stuffed with the plastic we've discarded that they can't even survive anymore in their oceans. The stones are crying out. Did you hear those two scriptures that Stephanie and I read earlier? I hope so. The one from Leviticus and one from Isaiah. Our ancient biblical ancestors tried to warn us about all this, about what would happen if we mistreated the earth and the waters, about how the earth would strike back as if the stones were crying out. Leviticus 25 may be one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. The Lord herself is giving Moses the laws that Israel needs in order to live by and to survive in the land, right? And not long after she gave those famous ones that we know, the Ten Commandments, not long after that, God says this to Moses. Now, when you enter the land that I'm about to give you, make sure that the land itself gets a Sabbath. For 6 years, you may sow your fields. For 6 years, you may prune your vineyards. You may harvest your crops. But in the seventh year, you are to give the land a rest, a Sabbath of its own. Do not sow your fields or prune your vineyards then. Do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the grapes from your untended vines, for the land itself is to have a full year of rest. Now, does anybody want to just take a wild guess as to what happened? What did the Israelites do with that law? Or perhaps I should say, what didn't they do? They didn't follow it. And neither have we. They thought that they were just a little bit smarter than God, just like we so often do. And they figured that if they just kept planting and harvesting, that they'd be able to get more crops for themselves and their family. They'd be able to sell some of those crops for more and more money. That would bring them security. They'd be able to serve more and more customers. Well, maybe in the short run. But you see, God didn't give us those laws for the short run. God had the long-term, big-picture perspective when those laws of mercy and love and grace were given. God's laws were given to protect all of creation for the long haul. So by the time Isaiah comes along, 600 or 700 years after Moses, we find out what the result of Israel's outsmarting God was. The stones cried out. Isaiah describes it this way. The earth dries up and withers. The world languishes. The earth is defiled by its people. They have disobeyed God's laws. They violated the statutes, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, Isaiah continues, a curse now consumes the earth, and its people must bear the guilt. As the earth's inhabitants are burned up, fewer and fewer will be left. The new wine dries up and the vine withers. The merrymakers groan. No longer do they drink wine with song. Even their beer is bitter to its drinkers. The land lies desolate, Isaiah continues. All joy turns to gloom and the city is left in ruins. And then Isaiah says this, so it will be on all the earth and among all the nations when an olive tree is overbeaten and when no gleanings are left after the harvest. The stones are crying out, my friends. Can you hear them? The stones are crying out. If we won't listen to our scientists and our climatologists, then perhaps we'll listen to the earth itself. Every dead whale along the shore crammed full of plastic, that's the stones crying out. Every new endangered or extinct species, that's the stones crying out. Those of you who were here last week, remember how many endangered species have we created now? 26,500? Remember that statistic from last week? In the last 40 years, 40, we humans have reduced the wild animal population by 50%. 50% of the animal population on this planet has been eradicated. In 40 years, the stones are crying out. Every tropical storm that somehow becomes a superstorm, packing higher winds and more wave wallop than we've ever seen before, that's the stones crying out. Every flood in Nebraska and Iowa, the stones crying out. Friends, as Good Friday approaches, let us all consider the fact that Jesus isn't the only thing that was crucified. And it wasn't just back then. We are crucifying the earth. The stones are crying out. I hope on this Good Friday we can confess to Almighty God and to each other and to our children that we have been complicit in this act of earth crucifixion. And I hope we'll renew our pledge to repent and to do everything in our power to alter the way we live in relationship to Mother Earth. We can't change the past. We can't change how we lived yesterday and the days and years before. But we can change what we do today and what we do tomorrow. Today and tomorrow, we can alter the way we use water. Today and tomorrow, we can change the way we shop, the products we buy, and how they are packaged. We can alter the bags we use when we're buying groceries and even produce. We can alter the way we eat. We can alter the way we pollute, by remembering there is no such thing as away when it comes to throwing things away. There is no away, especially now that China's not buying any of our recycled products anymore. And communities like ours have taken to burning their recyclables or burying them in landfills. In the last year alone, this congregation has stopped using paper napkins. We have ceased our dependence on disposable dishware and plates. Our coffee hours and potlucks create a tiny fraction of the waste that we used to create, and that is fantastic. Fantastic. In fact, that's part of what it means to be a faithful Christ follower in 2019 in a time of environmental crisis. Creation care has moved to the top of the list of what it means for us to follow Jesus in our day. So good job for all the steps you've taken in the last year, but I hope you know we have to go much, much farther. We have to show the other churches and organizations in Gaylord that it's actually possible for a church to go paperless. It is actually possible to have a worship service without that piece of paper that you're holding, that we have become so dependent on, some of us, that we waste incredible amounts of paper and ink and time printing every single week, and then get to watch you walk back there and drop it in a wastebasket that we think might be recycled. Why not start a congregation-wide challenge to reduce our addiction to these paper things and find creative solutions around them? Why not make a congregation-wide challenge to see if we can reduce our personal and congregational water use by 25% over the next year? What if each and every participant in this church signed a pledge to use no bags, not plastic or paper, from the grocery store ever again? To take our own bags, canvas bags, washable bags, reusable bags. My wife even got us on the internet these incredible bags that are sort of mesh bag, drawstring bags that we can put our produce in. We don't need those plastic bags anymore either. What if we made that commitment as a church, May 1st, that we would never waste this stuff again? Brothers and sisters, the stones are crying out. And we've heard them. We can't deny it. We have heard Mother Earth's cry of crucifixion from the cross on which we have put her. Maybe some folks haven't heard yet, but someday they're going to hear them too. In the meantime, why don't we lead? Why not lead? Why not be a light that shines in the darkness here in Gaylord? Why not be a beacon of environmental hope, showing other congregations and organizations another way to live that respects Leviticus 25 and giving the earth a break? In my devotional reading this week, I read Henry Nouwen's book, You Are the Beloved, which I certainly recommend to all of you. It's an incredible daily devotion. But in my readings this week, I happen to come upon these words with which I'd like to close this message. Nouwen writes, Jesus invites us to look at the harsh reality of our current existence and to see it as a new path to life. The core of Jesus' message has always been that real joy and peace can never be reached by avoiding suffering or avoiding difficult changes, but only by going right through them. We can deny the reality of life on our planet, Nouwen writes, or we can face it. When we face it, not in despair, but with the eyes of Jesus, we discover that where we least expect it, something wonderful is hidden that holds promise even stronger than death itself. Nouwen continues, Jesus lived his life with the profound trust that God's love is always stronger than death, and that death, therefore, does not have the last word. Jesus invites us to face the painful reality of our existence on this planet with the same trust that Jesus did. May each and every one of us, this Good Friday, both acknowledge our role in crucifying the earth in the past and make a pledge and a promise to ourselves, our family, our church, and our community that today and tomorrow we're going to do it differently. The stones are crying out. Amen. Cheryl, and I'll go. Rocco, you go there, and I'll use this
light here. The intent of this is for it to take place after your Easter service, even though it is set in the present, as you and your pastor release each other and bless each other on your separate ways.
On September 1st, 2015, our church called Toby to serve as pastor.
I thank this congregation for the love, kindness, and support shown to me over these last 3.5 years. I'm grateful for the opportunity I've had to be your spiritual leader, and as I leave, I carry with me all that I've learned here.
We receive your thankfulness and we congratulate you that you do not need to minister elsewhere. We are grateful for your time among us, your influence on our faith and faithfulness will not leave us at your departure.
Do you, the participants of First Congregational United Church of Christ of Gaylord, release Toby from his duties as pastor?
We do, with the help of God.
Do you offer your encouragement for his ministry soon to begin as chaplain of McLaren Northern Michigan Hospital?
We do, with the help of God.
And do you, Toby, release this local church from turning to you and depending on you?
I do, with the help of God.
Do you offer your encouragement for the continued ministry here and on the relationship with another who will come to serve?
I do, with the help of God.
On behalf of the United Northern Association of the Michigan Conference, United Church of Christ, I witness to the words spoken, words of thankfulness and release. The member churches of our association and conference hold each of you in prayer. We pledge our support in the transition signified by this service. And let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give thanks for remembered time when pastor and people have shared the life of faith together. This time together saw laughter and tears, hopes and disappointments, confession and forgiveness. Guide these people as they hold cherished memories and move in new directions. We pray that Pastor Toby will be aware of your Spirit's guidance as he moves to his new ministry. And we pray that the congregation will feel the presence of your Spirit as they enter a new time of transition and possibilities for ministry. God, in this time of prayer, we give you thanks for your presence in all times and places. We give you thanks for silence and for nudgings of your Spirit, for opportunities to minister in this community and in the world. We give you thanks for sermons and music and teachers and leaders and all who help keep your realm alive and well in this world where there is so much hurt. Help us to continue to speak, even as the stones and the earth itself raise up their own voices, that we might find your love and care surrounding us and the world in which we live. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
So Cheryl, we want to teach you this song that we sing a lot at the end of our services, written by a great friend of mine from seminary, an Australian gentleman by the name of Ian Coates. And it's really what this church is all about. It was all about that before I came, and it will be all about this after I leave. And it served as our benediction many times. And I invite everybody to stand and to join hands. I need your bulletin.
May our lives speak of your love. May our feet walk in your grace.